You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on the show, I'm talking with Sucharat Superparinya. She's talking to us from Chiang Mai. Sucharat, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much to invite me to join this interview.
I want to talk about your fascinating work and your projects, but it's, of course, the new year. It's January 6th in 2021, and all kinds of things are happening around the world, including the pandemic. What's happening in Chiang Mai? How are you doing there in terms of the pandemic or just the atmosphere?
Well, the pandemic at the beginning of last year is quite slow when it started in Chiang Mai in Thailand. But then it started heavily end of March until June. And then from July, we kind of lose a bit until last month, actually, until December. And then right after the all the holidays, around exactly the end of the year, the second round started again in somewhere near Bangkok. And just a week from that time, it's kind of almost like lockdown now. We cannot freely traveling across the province like before. I mean, we can, but it's not the same, and they shake a lot. And if you traveling across the province, maybe you need to be quarantined for 14 days. So it's quite a short time that it changed everything.
And how has this affected your work this year? We can talk about the projections I think you did in February of last year or another project, but what have you been working on this year? Last year, the 2020.
Last year, there are many plans for different projects, but then most of the projects postpone or turn to be online. So it's all changed, the project changed. But the screening in February is possible, but I think it's my almost the last project in public before we lock down. And after that, it's kind of freezing, cannot really do a lot of things for about 3 months, from end of March to June. Around that time, some people contact me and start to invite me to join some online projects, which is kind of interesting, so I joined that. And some projects start to, the conversation to create the new projects also start to talk about, but it's kind of very slow. It's not only the project slow, but myself also slow because I'm a bit worried with the situation, and my parents also quite ill, so I kind of worry of everything around myself. And at the end of May, my dad, I need to send him to the hospital, and he went to the ICU for a month, and we could not visit him because it's kind of restriction, and he passed away within the month in the hospital. So it's kind of very difficult time.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And so he passed away of COVID related issues.
Right. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to continue things. I think
Of course, because you're grieving. You're saying you're in the middle of grieving. This is a very difficult time for the world, but to lose a father, a parent, is terribly difficult. I'm so sorry. So you've been involved in that, and how what will happen with your work in the future? Are there plans next for this year, or what are you thinking in terms of next work?
And during the time, there are also not only myself and my family, but also the political situation in Thailand is very difficult also, and I also follow with that. And so right after the lockdown, myself and other artist friends and a lot of fellows also start to join the protest. I did not join physically a lot compared to other friends, but we joy it by spirit or whatever we can do. So because of that situation, my work also go to that situation also, because during the time that I about to create a new work for an exhibition, I propose that I cannot think of other things because the situation, how to say that, the situation created or led me to follow what's going on in the country. So one of the works that I about to work on it now is about the history of fighting, of the small people that they fight for the democracy, maybe started from around 100 years ago, but at different time, different part of Thailand. And I propose to travel to different part of Thailand to visit a space or a place that represent the fighting or the event that people remember that is that some people fight or some people pass away or some people protest together and a lot of them create something that we remember it, and we use that memory from the past to continue fighting this day kind of thing. And it's quite, and at the same time, it suits to the situation that I cannot traveling abroad, and it's a time that I can really focus only in the country and traveling in the country, and there are many places that I have never been, in Thailand, like different small province, small village. It's just the time that is happening that I can focus on something that I not usually look at. Not only about my work, but also about my own family. After what happened, my parent, my dad.
And so that's, you know, this is a kind of global situation that you're also involved in. I mean, what's happening in Thailand, of course, is different than other places, but there are some similarities. I mean, in this country, of course, I'm talking from the United States, where you have a very unusual situation where democracy is being undermined by the president who wants everybody to believe that their vote both doesn't count and does count. A very strange situation. And in Thailand, can you tell me a little bit about the protests there? Because from what we read here, it's kind of against this idea of a monarchy, this system of government that they're protesting against. But I know very little about it.
Yeah, it started. I think I need to explain a little bit before that. How to say that? The movement is happening some maybe about 10 years, about 10 year, and some year is more strong and some year less. But I would say that after 2014 is the coup d'etat, and from that time a lot of people went out to the street and protest, because we want a democracy. We don't want the military rule the country. The military ruled the country for, I think, 2014, and until last year, they started to have a first election, general election. But the election is not in the process that we believe is a true democracy. Because after the war, the ruler, they changed their own rule. The rule is not this at the beginning, and when they count the vote is a bit changed, because they want to win, so kind of thing. So at the end they win it, even though they don't have the most of the vote. And then there are a lot of things happening after that. And at that time, young people not really join the movement because they don't know what's going on. And also around the time in Hong Kong, you hear that young people start to join the protests, and maybe also in Taiwan. And with that, the young people, they start to know the neighboring country, right? At least in Hong Kong and in Taiwan, and when they especially during the pandemic, there are a lot of story about there are many story in the school that is not there is no justice in the school, like some teacher rapes students, and there is no punishment to the teacher or something like that. So there are many story around the time of the pandemic, and I think with that many story happening in the school, the student and the children, they can't stand that anymore, and they start to fight for their own right from the school. Before that, only the students from university joined the protest, but I think during the pandemic and after the pandemic term, more students from high school join. And I think because of the they also learn from Hong Kong and other country, and they also support each other. Students from other countries also support them when they start to join the protest the first time. They have more courage to do that. But when they start to join, it's very fun because they start to join it with cartoon. They dress themselves like cartoon, and they change the lyric of the cartoon to be the lyric for fighting and to criticize the government or something like that. So it's kind of cute and fun. So it's kind of, older people and adult also feel like, wow, what's going on? It's so fancy and fun and cute. But the content in there is very strong. It's not shy, you know. Even though a lot of people fight for democracy and also criticize the monarchy for a long time, but never before that they criticized it directly and clearly. But the young people, they come with a different way, and they don't want to just gossip or just talk about this. How to say that? Not directly, or just under the I forgot the word. Like to call.
That's okay. Yeah. Indirect kind of. Protest, an indirect question, kind of accusation.
Right. So they don't want to die, just to talk in the close a secret room or in the secret online room or something that not in public. So they don't want to wait anymore. So they want to say it directly. So that's why from July, during the pandemic, after we kind of lose the lockdown a bit, then they start to talk about the situation directly. And also because there are many, the management around the pandemic at the beginning is very bad, and they have a lot of questions why it's so bad, why they not really care us, and also the questions about the king, because at the time he's still not in Thailand, and he at the time lived in Germany, and there are many questions around that why it's like that. So that's the starting point of the protest this year, and it's getting stronger and stronger until the end of the year.
And these ideas, I mean, this is a kind of revolution in the making. But these ideas and what you're researching, this is what your work has always been about. And these ideas, I would imagine, will make its way into your future work, right? The kind of research you're doing and the involvement you're having.
Yes, I try to collect some story or words that some people say or wrote about when they fight whatever situation that they faced to in the past, and I want to collect that kind of text into the works. And another part of the same works is the location of the place, that the place should be a memory of the fighting in the history also. And these two things is mostly from those who who just ordinary people who is not a ruler, who has probably has no not much power to change the to write the history, you know. Because in our education, the history in our education is history that maybe is not true. It's more like propaganda. And this right. kind of story that I collect is a story that maybe not everyone knows, and maybe you need to find in a banned book or story that people talk from the people to people talk about it, or
right.
from a small how to say that publication.
And maybe we should talk a little before we go about the Chiang Mai art conversation, because that also supports that, right? This is a project that you co-founded, correct?
Yes, correct. Chiang Mai art conversation, we started in 2013. Actually, we started because also around the time is around 2010. It also was a big protest, and a lot of people died on the street during the protest, and a lot of young students joined the. I want to call it that around that year is like awakening time for a lot of people in Thailand, because before 2010.
Which year was that? 2010.
Before that time, not many people know what's going on or how to say that, or care about politics, because we don't feel like it's a part of our life. But after 2010 or during 2010 or around that time, people start to learn the history that not that we didn't learn in the school, but we need to looking for it by ourselves or listening to the historian or academic to explain us what's going on in the past. So. That year is a big year that a lot of people start to also join the protest, and we started Chiang Mai art conversation because some students at that time already learned the history of the politics, but they cannot really fully join the movement because it's suppressed. And why not we all artists and we study art, and why we not move something by culture? If otherwise we cannot do anything, we should to move something in the society at that time.
Right, to start a conversation. So how did the Chiang Mai art conversation start? I mean, there's a Facebook page where I've learned some about it, but it's not all translatable. How does it work?
It works through online Facebook page first, and communications and. We also met physically in the cafe and chat about what we want to do and what we want to create together. It started because Chiang Mai is kind of art city for us, but we cannot really see it physically. Why it's like that? There are so many artists live here, and a lot of students graduate every year. But we don't really have a proper art space or show or writer or some archive, something that we can show the other when they come to Chiang Mai. Contemporary art. So that's why these kind of questions, with these kind of questions, we want to do something. And at first, what we want to do is maybe we should to create some festival so people can see a lot of things in Chiang Mai. And we who organize it, maybe we can learn how it works. But then some friends said that, well, there are a lot of exhibitions and there are many people also already create some festival, but then there is no one collect the archive and is just disappear. Then he suggested that we should to start with to archive things first, or to introduce ourselves, what we have in the city, who is who in the city, and then we start to follow different galleries, start to follow who is who in Chiang Mai, and then try to share what's going on in Chiang Mai on our Facebook page first. And
I see, so it's support of artists and other people as well, and connecting everyone.
Yes, try to share what's going on and try to introduce who doing what in Chiang Mai and Chiang Mai artists. And Chiang Mai artists, maybe some of them doing something abroad or in other city. So we try to collect all of that information in our page, and make our page is the page that people want to know about art in Chiang Mai. They come to the page and they know what's going on, kind of thing, at the beginning.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that there'll be a link to that for those who are listening if you want to see that page, because it's on Facebook. And I want to ask you one more question today. What are you reading at the moment? What kind of text are you reading?
Because around this time, I collect some texts for my work. So I read small books about about the politicians in the past in the northeastern or Isan, northeastern of Thailand, or in the north of Thailand, or the south of Thailand, or more or less about history of people of different part of Thailand before they being part of Siam or Thailand, or after they part. Or after they being part of Thailand, what's going on? How they fight? How they fight for their own identity, to keep their own identity? And how do they? How to say that? How they deal with the central government to keep their own culture? And so there are a lot of fighting around that, and I collect that kind of text or words from them. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and Trichardt, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I want to wish you a happy new year, but also thank you so much for your time talking with me today.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me to HID.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.